Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson is taken from the book of Hebrews. The aims and the purposes of the Holy Spirit in producing the book of Hebrews were several. It presents the superiority of Christ over all others, and the superiority of the system of salvation by Him over all other systems. As great as was Moses and the Mosaic Law, the covenant of Christ surpasses it. He is greater than all men and all angels. He is declared as deity. The book also teaches the relationship between the old law given through Moses and the new law which came through Jesus Christ. And this is one of the most needed understandings among religious people. The failure to distinguish between what was done in previous dispensations and what is done now is the source of so much religious error and confusion. But one of the major themes is concerning apostasy. The book of Hebrews, like the book of Romans and Galatians, is designed to prevent apostasy, and if apostasy has already occurred, to correct it. It is strange in the light of such writings as the book of Hebrews that some would contend for the false doctrine that once one is saved, he will always be saved, regardless of what he does or believes thereafter. Here is an entire New Testament book intended to prevent and cure what some say could never even happen anyway. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the one who falls away, is being like the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Galatians 5 and verse 4 tells that some did and had already fallen from grace. In John 15 we learn about the branches that do not bear fruit and how they are cut off and gathered and burned. Friend, you need to have your conviction solidified that one can be lost, even though once saved. The doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy did not originate with God and His people, but with the devil in the Garden of Eden, when he spoke with Eve, and was given a boost among Protestants by John Calvin. Paul warned, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Why would anyone suggest you cannot do what Paul warned us to take heed and prevent? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which become the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." These Christians were in danger of falling, and this tells why. It was their own failure to learn and grow, and as a result, they were unable to distinguish between good and evil. They were in danger of falling not only because of things committed, but because of the failure to do what Christians are supposed to do. When one becomes a child of God, he cannot stand still. He will either grow or wither and die. He goes forward or he will slide backward. And the inability to teach others and to discern between good and evil stems from a lack of the knowledge of God's Word and the failure to properly use and apply that knowledge. Jesus used the Word, did he not, to resist temptation? When confronted in the wilderness by the devil and was tempted, he responded, "It is written." The Word is a powerful deterrent to sin. Likewise, it is our guide in life, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. One has a road map for life in the Bible. But friend, just possessing a copy, but not knowing and following its directions, it avails nothing. Man cannot direct his own steps successfully, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Things that seem right in man's own eyes may not be right in the eyes of God, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. And how can one make the important decisions in life if he does not even know the direction he should travel? God once said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," Hosea 4 and verse 6. Ignorance of the truth is an invitation to disaster. We're commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. The failure to do this is to dare the devil to take your soul. It gives him an advantage over you, because he is your adversary, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, and he seeks your destruction. Overcoming evil with good has never been the easiest path of life, and yet this is the path a Christian must travel, Romans 12 and verse 21. How will you ever do this if you do not know how to discern between good and evil? The very opening verses of Hebrews 6 encourages the Christian to go on unto perfection. Now, this is not demanding that we be sinlessly perfect, for that is beyond our ability, 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Perfection simply means wholeness and completeness and maturity and spiritual strength. It emphasizes the standard and the goal for which we must constantly strive. As Christians, we must grow and keep on growing. Regardless of those who fall away, for whatever reason, that's a tragedy. And that tragedy, when it occurs, the people are victims of failure, failure to learn and discern, the failure to know and to grow. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Friend, let us realize the sinister significance of apostasy. It is to crucify Christ afresh. One aligns himself with those who murdered the Son of God. Can you picture yourself as being one of those of that mob that cried for his death? Why, the very thought should be repugnant and offensive to you. Yet this is what falling away means. You trod underfoot the Son of God. You count his blood an unholy thing, Hebrews 10 and verse 29. And you put him to an open shame. Recall how he was mocked with a crown of thorns and a robe, humiliated and ridiculed as a criminal, carrying his own cross and shamed as they spat upon him, beat him along the way. Do you think you fit into that picture alongside the man who said, he said he was the Son of God, let us see if God will save him? Will you join with those in laughter as he suffered? Well, friend, this is what one does when he falls away from Christ. Such should impress us with the seriousness of apostasy. It is no light and little thing to backslide. It is more than just missing church. We may tend to think of our deliberate absenteeism from the assemblies as a minor thing, but such is a sure sign of a dying soul. Our performances of duty, our manifestations of loyalty, our actions depicting love show God whether or not we are truly striving to grow in His will. Does not the absence of such things show our decline and failure? Falling away is gradual, sometimes so gradual we do not even detect it if we are not alert and diligent. But it is deadly. It has deadly eternal consequences. And what does it mean, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance? Now let's get the picture of whom these things were spoken. Here were people who were once enlightened. They had tasted of the heavenly gift. They were partakers of the Holy Spirit. They were Christians. There has been and will only be one sacrifice for sins, and that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9 and verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And when he died for the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2. We have but one Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior, John 14, 6, Acts 4 and verse 12. To turn from Christ is to turn from our only hope. Therefore, having once come to Him but turning away, there is no other to whom we can turn. So long as one remains rebellious in stubborn rejection of the Son of God, it is impossible for such a one to be saved. He cannot be renewed with that frame of mind and disposition. And while there is no sin that cannot be forgiven, provided the terms are met, it is possible for one to become so hardened in sin that nothing will move his heart to repent. He places himself beyond reach in that state. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth the herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Friend, this illustrates the fallen man and his condition. Just as good ground that once had been blessed with rain and all that is necessary that it to produce good fruit, then it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected, it is cursed. So it is with a person who has been blessed with good things and produces evil. He too is rejected and cursed. That person who became a Christian is expected to bear good fruit to the Lord. But should he turn away, he cannot be accepted. All the rejected Christian has anticipated and expect is meeting a just God, and a God to whom vengeance belongs. Mercy is extended now, and this is the day of mercy. When we stand before God in judgment, that will be a time of God's justice, who does not allow his word to be defiled. Dear friend, he will vent his righteous wrath on the wicked, including the apostate. Now, in view of this, we can heartily agree with the statement of Hebrews 10 and verse 31, can we not? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Where can that soul trace his destruction to have begun? Why, it can be traced back to the time and to the place and to the occasion when that person failed to seize the opportunity to grow and to feed upon the spiritual good that God has provided, and failed to learn what he had to know so he could do what God says must be pleasing to him. I suggest to you that few lessons are more forcefully emphasize the importance of Bible study than the thoughts and the possibilities of falling away, such as are taught in the book of Hebrews. Apostasy, which damns the soul, begins with the failure to learn. It begins with a lack of study. It begins with a refusal to know. As surely as growth is a preventive to apostasy, as is taught by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:5 through 11, failure to learn and failure to grow is a sure way to fall and to be lost. Friend, we must feed upon the sincere milk of the Word of God. This is the food that nourishes our soul to strength, and our failure to do that will bring about certain falling away from God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.